If you have your Bibles, open them to the book of Job. I have preached here before. It's been a few years. Last time we were here was 2016, and Ashley was 6 months pregnant with Hank, and he is a lot louder and faster now than he was back then, as most of you have already found out. We're going to be in Job tonight, the 23rd chapter of Job, and I'm going to be piggybacking off of something that our pastor said a few weeks ago in talking about the sanctification process. He preached a really encouraging, uplifting message called Sanctification Through Suffering, and I know that I was greatly encouraged by it. But we're going to be in Job chapter 23. Job was, of course, a man who was acquainted with suffering, a man who had experienced, had gone through the gauntlet of things that we'll be referencing tonight. If you're able to, I'm going to ask you to stand with me as we read Job chapter 23 and verse 10. Job chapter 23 and verse 10. The word of God says this: "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." Let's pause and have a word of prayer this evening. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Lord, I pray tonight that as we spend these next few moments just hearing from you, Lord, that you would, Lord, you would help us to be open to your spirit. And Lord, that you would help us to be encouraged to continue in the faith. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to be more grateful for how much you love us so that we can love you and serve you. Lord, I pray tonight that everybody would leave this room tonight sure of their salvation, knowing who they trust in. Lord, I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. It's been a few years since I was in high school. Last summer was my 10-year reunion, and tomorrow I'm going to be 30 years old. The big 3-0, it's all going to be downhill from there. But working for Aaron the last few weeks has made me feel a little older. But it's been a long time since I was in high school, but when I was in school, I tried to play basketball. And I remember my freshman year, we had a coach. His name was Coach Morrow, and I loved Coach Morrow because he didn't really care, never made us run. You know, you mess up, try harder next time. That's okay. We're all winners. That was awesome. And then he got fired, and then we got a new coach my sophomore year. Coach Flory was his name, and that was a culture change. He was a student assistant at Kansas University. If you know anything about Kansas, we invented basketball. We love basketball. And Coach Flory was under Roy Williams at KU for a few years, and he really believed in running and things like accountability and responsibility, things like that. Well, anyways, we had our tryouts, and after the cuts and everything had happened, our very first practice on a Saturday, after practice, we were all ready to go home, and he said, "Everyone stick around. We have a team building exercise." And so what we found out, it was the conditioning test, and he said it was going to make us grow together as a team. He was going to break us, was his goal. But he made us run, if you played basketball, we had to run 20 suicides, free throw line back, half court back, free throw, full court back, and then half court and full court back, 20 each of those. And by the end of it, it was rough. The next Monday, one of the upperclassmen quit the team. We got into the locker room Monday morning, and his jersey was sitting on the table, and I always thought, why did he quit after he ran all that? He should have quit on Saturday. But you know, as our coach told us, he wasn't really trying to break us. He wasn't trying to get anybody to quit the team. What he was trying to do was test us and to push us so that we could grow, right? When you exercise, when you run, if you exercise, the harder you push yourself, the more you can grow. It's through adversity that strength is gained. And we're going to see that in the book of Job tonight. A few things about Job in verse number 10 once more. He said this: "But he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold." You know, when the Lord tests us, it isn't to try to break us. When we go through trials, when we go through difficult times, it isn't God trying to get us to quit. See, God uses those times to grow our faith and to help us to become more dependent on Him. And Job, I think, learned that lesson through his suffering. But in this statement that Job makes in verse number 10, notice first that Job had a clear conscience before God. Job, in the midst of his suffering, had a clear conscience. And I know that a few weeks ago, as we were talking about sanctification through suffering, I'm going to quote, I can't get in trouble for saying this because you said it. I'm quoting you, hopefully. But, right, sometimes life is hard, but sometimes it's hard because you're stupid, I think, is what was said.
Amen.
Right, sometimes we bring on our own difficulty. Sometimes the trials we go through are consequences of our own choices. But like Job, sometimes things happen to us and we just really don't know why. Who knows? Maybe we'll find out someday, but in the midst of that suffering, sometimes I think it's natural to ask, why is this happening? And Job was there himself, but yet, in verse number 10, what we find is that Job had a clear conscience, even in the midst of his trials. He said, but he knoweth the way that I take. Job was stating his confidence that God knows the way that I live my life. God knows. And listen, Job wasn't saying this as a way to boast on himself, to say, you know, I'm Job, I'm a big deal, I'm very faithful. Job was just being honest. God knows that I'm a man of faith. God knows that I'm a man who serves Him and loves Him. He knoweth the way that I take. Really famous quote, everybody's heard, life is 10% what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. The book of Job is a good study in responding and reacting to certain things. But see, Job's conscience was clear despite his suffering. We're not going to go back and read the entire account, but if you recall, when you start reading the book of Job, what you find out is that his camels, oxen, donkeys, they were stolen. His sheep died, his servants were murdered, his 10 children all died in an accident where the house collapsed on him. A man well acquainted with suffering, and yet he had a clear conscience in how he had responded to that suffering. Now, if we're being honest, I think the question was asked this morning, has anybody ever made you angry? Has anybody ever said anything that made you mad? Who would confidently raise your hand and say that you always respond with grace and in such a way that you are the model for every other person in this room? All right. See, we don't exactly have a clear conscience in the way that we've responded. Maybe in the last week you can think about a time. I'm glad that no one in this room was there when this happened. With your spouse, your children, the person at the drive-thru window. But even in the midst of all of his suffering, his conscience was clear. Not only in the midst of his suffering, but in the midst of all of his questions. Job had a natural response, throughout this book. Why? Hank just recently started asking what, but he hasn't gotten to why yet. And the first person in this room that teaches him to say the word why is going to be in big trouble. But I know it's probably coming. It's a pretty natural question. Why? Why? Why do things happen the way they do? Listen, go back, hold your place and go back to the first chapter, Job chapter 1 and verse number 1. Just a reminder. Just so we know the type of man Job was, the Word of God speaks to this, and what a testimony that God's Word throughout all of time has said this about Job. There was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job, and that man was perfect and upright, one that feared God and eschewed evil. Man, what if at the end of your life, that could be summed up of you. That you were a God-fearing individual, someone who eschewed or avoided evil. and loved righteousness. What a godly testimony. See, Job was a faithful man. And if your brain works the way mine works, when I do well, I expect to be rewarded. And when I do not well, I hope to, you know, get by. But realistically, listen, when we do good, we think we deserve good. And we think if I mess up, sure, then I could be punished. But it doesn't seem fair that when I do well, things don't go my way. Has anybody ever felt like that? We could say that, you know, when we were kids, I remember all the time growing up thinking this isn't fair. But even as adults, how often do we think this isn't fair? I don't deserve this. I deserve better. But even with all the questions Job might have had, and certainly did have, he still said, he knoweth the way that I take. Even not having all the answers, Job had a clear conscience in his questions. Also in his uncertainty, he kept a clear conscience. If I were Job, and I can imagine, we have the benefit of retrospect. When we read God's word, we can read ahead and we see what happens. But think about being Job in the middle of all this. Right? We've all heard the expression, when it rains, it pours. Sometimes things just keep going. I mean, imagine Job after the first couple things happen. He's probably afraid to wake up the next day. What's next? All my livestock have disappeared. My servants are killed. My children have died. All the uncertainty that he faced in the future. I think this was said a few weeks ago as well, but if you haven't gone through tough times, you're going to. It's been said that you're either coming out of a storm, in the storm, or going into a storm. And every single person in this room, regardless of how old or young you are, at some point in the future, you are going to experience difficulty. And you might ask why. You might be uneasy about not knowing what might happen next. But let me encourage you to keep a clear conscience towards God. With all the questions, all the uncertainty, all the suffering you might endure, remain faithful. It's been said that there's no pillow so soft as a clear conscience. And that's the truth. You guys know when you've messed up and you've done something wrong, you haven't apologized to someone, it's hard to sleep. At least it should be. No pillow is so soft as a clear conscience. Listen, one more thing. He kept his clear conscience despite bad advice. Job is a great study in why you shouldn't always listen to your friends. Someone once said it's a good case study on why you shouldn't always listen to your wife. And I didn't say that, but someone said that. Listen, he got some really bad advice. In Job chapter 2, go back to the second chapter. In Job chapter 2 and verse 7, verse 8 and verse 9. So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown, right, covered from head to toe in sores. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself with, and he sat down among the ashes. Then said his wife unto him, Dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. That's bad advice. Amen. And of course, if you read the rest of the book, you'll know that his friends didn't really believe him, that he deserved a clear conscience. They didn't understand his faithfulness. But even in all that bad advice, did he curse God and die? Did he turn his back on the Lord? No, he continued his life of faith in his suffering. And you're going to get bad advice too. In your suffering, in your trials, especially to the younger people in the room, if you go to school, most of the advice you get there is going to be awful. If it's advice from someone your age, it's something you probably shouldn't listen to. But if people are 30 and up, you could probably listen to them. So, Job had a clear conscience. Notice also that Job had confidence in the Lord. Even in all of his trials, all the suffering, all the questions, the uncertainty, the bad advice he was getting, all these things surrounding Job, something that remained was his confidence in the Lord. Listen to what he says in verse number 10. But he knoweth the way that I take when he hath tried me. When he hath tried me. Job had confidence that God was in control of the situation. Now, we know if we go back and read the entire first chapter of Job that his suffering absolutely was Satan-influenced. Right? Satan asked permission to do these things to Job, and God granted him permission. And so all this suffering was influenced by the devil. But regardless of that, God was still in control of the situation. You see, Satan was attacking you. If you really want to boil this down, Satan was attacking Job by any means that he was allowed. He was destroying his livelihood, his family, his health. Satan was trying to get Job to curse God and die. Job received bad advice. And it definitely wasn't godly advice. It wasn't the Holy Spirit that influenced his wife to encourage him to curse God and die. We ought to be careful about the advice that we give. And if you haven't, this is, I'm going to soapbox here, but if you have a friend, family member going through something really difficult, before you start playing the part of counselor and person giving advice, you should pray about their situation and consider what God's Word has to say. You see, even while Satan was wrecking Job's life, Job knew that God was in control. Great quote, "Unlimited in power, unrivaled in majesty, and not thwarted by anything outside himself, our God is in complete control of all of our circumstances, causing or allowing them for his own good purposes and plans to be fulfilled exactly as he has ordained." I'm going to read that to you one more time. I love it. Unlimited in power, unrivaled in majesty, and not thwarted by anything outside himself. Our God is in complete control of all our circumstances, causing or allowing them for his own good purposes and plans to be fulfilled exactly as he has ordained. Listen, there was not even a second of Job's life when it got as bad as it ever got. There wasn't a second where God wasn't in control of the situation. No matter how powerful Satan was and is, there is never a moment where he overpowers God. Amen. Satan could only do what God allowed him to do, and it's the same today. Amen. Satan has no power or ability that God does not permit. Listen, you can be confident that God is always in control. I want you to think about this, that Jesus, a few weeks ago we celebrated Easter, we were thinking a lot about the resurrection. You think about this, Jesus died, was buried, and rose from the grave. And we say, we talk about the resurrection, and it's so easy to sing or talk about it or read our Bible and think about our resurrected Savior, but Jesus overcame death. Whatever situation is going on in your life might be big to us, but it's not big to God. There is nothing that Jesus isn't in control of at all times. See, God uses difficult times to try us, to test us, to prove us. Job had confidence. He said, "He knoweth the way that I take when he hath tried me." Job might not have known why things were happening. He might not have known what was going to happen next. But he knew that underneath everything, God was the one who ultimately who was in control. when he hath tried me. Thirdly, Job knew that there would be a conclusion to his suffering. And this is a great thing to remember. That there is always a conclusion, caveat. To the child of God, there is always a conclusion or a conclusion to suffering. He says this, but he knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Not, I hope I get through this. Not, maybe on the other end, things won't be so bad. In the midst of his suffering, Job says, I shall come forth as gold. Job knew that there would be an end to his suffering. He didn't know when. He might not have known what else was going to happen, but he knew it wouldn't last forever. And isn't that encouraging sometimes? It won't last forever. I remember when Hank was younger and he was cutting teeth. That was one of the only things that get you through that. Eventually, these things are going to pop through. He can be happy and we can be happy. It's not going to last forever. Of course, when he was one and he got to the terrible twos a year early, we thought, this won't last forever. He'll turn two, it'll get better. And then he was two and we thought, well, he'll grow out of it when he hits three. And he's getting into his stride right now. But you know, no matter what you're going through, it won't last forever. And child of God, because of the promise we have of eternal life, no matter how bad this life gets, it will get better. Really, the best thing that can happen to the child of God is leaving this world behind anyways. Job knew there would be a conclusion to his suffering. He knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth. Finally, he understood the cost of refinement. I shall come forth as gold. Job appreciated the fact that spiritual growth or refinement comes at a cost. The process of purifying gold requires an intense heat. I don't really know. This is just what the internet tells me. I assume it's true. 1,948 degrees, to be exact, to melt down gold. But once it's melted, the impurities rise to the top, and whoever's refining that gold can scrape those things away, and each time you reheat it, you can make it more pure. He knoweth the way that I take. When he hath tried me, I shall come forth as gold. Listen, without adversity, there isn't going to be growth. Without some suffering, there isn't going to be growth. Now, everybody in this room, I would hope that you would say tonight that you want a greater faith. That you want to be a person who loves the Lord more and gives more of yourself to the Lord. But listen, without some adversity, your faith isn't going to grow. And so when we think about some other texts, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6. If you want to turn over there, you can. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ. 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 12 and 13. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, ye may be glad also with exceeding joy. Why can you rejoice when you're going through adversity? Because you enjoy it? No. But because God can use that and will use that to refine you, to grow your faith, to make you more like Christ. Amen. Listen, Paul understood that when he suffered, it was when Paul suffered that he believed he learned more about his Savior than any other time. So why can we rejoice in suffering? Not because we like to suffer, but because we like to become like our Savior. We like to get to know our Savior more. You should want to know more about Jesus than you know now. And I don't mean just being able to quote more scripture. That's a good thing. You should want to know the person of Jesus Christ better than you know now. And you can't do that outside of scripture. But a lot of people can quote Bible verses and they don't know Jesus. If you want to know Jesus better, retain a clear conscience of faithfulness in the midst of your suffering. And at the end of that suffering, you will come forth as gold. Finally, Job recognized his value to God. Only precious metal is refined. You guys have any gravel in your driveway? You try to refine it? Why would you? If you are a child of God, God works in your life because you are valuable to Him. It would be a cruel thing to allow you to suffer just for kicks. Just to point down and laugh and say, look at what they're going through. Listen, God uses that time. What an incredibly gracious thing that God uses our suffering for good. Job understood the cost of refinement. Listen, here's the reality tonight. I'm going to close in just a moment, turn it over to Brother Isaac. In Job's case, his suffering was a result of his faithfulness. You say, what did Job do to deserve all that? He was the man of faith. And Satan targeted him because of that. If Job had just been a half-foot-in, half-foot-out Christian, Satan probably wouldn't have been all that concerned about Job. And I would put forth to you tonight that there's probably some people in this room that Satan's not all that concerned about. Don't rock the boat. Listen, the seasons of my life where I haven't been serving the Lord, why would Satan, I'm not doing anything. But when you get serious about serving God, know that you are inviting a target. But ultimately, it can be used for your good and God's glory. You know, everything in your life, I believe this. Whether you are a child of God or whether you are lost, I believe that God uses the circumstances of your life to bring you to a place of repentance. And regardless of how long you've been saved, God works in your life to bring you to a place where you get on your knees and you repent and you make your heart right with God. Not that you have to be justified or saved if you are already a child of God, but God uses these things in your life to bring you to a place of greater dependence and repentance. But if you're here tonight and you are unsaved, I'm confident that God has worked the circumstances of your life around to bring you here tonight to a place of repentance. And I would encourage you tonight, if you don't have the confidence that you can have in Christ, of being a child of God, having an eternal home in heaven, then tonight you can repent of your sins and trust in Jesus and be forgiven. And then you can live a life of faith that gives you a clear conscience before God. I'm going to have a word of prayer and turn things over to Brother Isaac. Let's all stand and let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. Lord, I pray tonight that you would encourage us through your word, and as we leave, you would help us to remember your word. Lord, I pray that you would lead each heart here this evening to a place of repentance and greater reliance on you. Lord, help us to appreciate how you work in our lives, Lord. And help us to lead greater lives of love and faithfulness. I pray that if there's one here tonight with a burden on their heart, whether it's to repent and trust the gospel, Lord, if it's the child of God who is struggling with sin in their life, I pray that you would lead us to the altar tonight, Lord, to right our hearts with you. And I ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Well, we sing one song.